It is a mistake that changed her life. 2 years ago, Laura's children were wrongfully taken from her and placed into state care after a series of false allegations. Having waged an exhaustive battle against the Department of Family and Community Services, Laura's children are now back in her care. But the extent of their trauma is so great that she fears it will affect their family for generations to come.
It was challenging when my children were in care. It's even more challenging now that they're back. It's going to be damage that I'm not just going to carry, but my children are going to carry and my extended family are going to carry. And it needs to change. You need to break that cycle. I now carry this fear. I'm nearly 50 years of age. I might not be around when my younger children get older and they have children. Who's going to be there to protect them? And my ex-partner was the one that made the allegations. He made allegations from 2004 right up to 2015. The department could not substantiate the allegations, but still my children were removed then. It wasn't until I stood up and fought the system, got an opportunity to have a review of my file, because I just needed the truth to unfold.
In a housing facility on the outskirts of Sydney's southeast, the Shillingsworth family's experience of child protection is all too similar. It has been just 6 months since they were reunited with their three children. Like Miss Lyons, Kevin and Kayleen felt betrayed after their children were taken.
At first, before the first 3 weeks, we just lost it and started drinking heavily every day.
Homeless. I was heavily pregnant.
Our fourth child had passed away, 35 weeks.
I was stillborn.
And
do you think that was because of the stress?
Yeah, well, I think it's because of facts.
And we did find out that facts did have our alert at the hospital to come in and take the baby.
Then we decided the first step was to give up the alcohol and to try and get ourselves into accommodation and fight for the girls.
Kevin, do you think that it's too easy for people to make false allegations against Indigenous Australians and
yes,
for facts to believe that without investigating?
Yes, it is. I reckon so, yep. They made a mistake with taking my children.
Although families like the Lyons and Shillingsworths were able to have their children returned to them, the effects of their time in care is often devastating and irreversible. Mr. and Mrs. Shillingsworth, again.
I see a lot of change in them. Every time we would visit their children, we always kept up our culture and spoke languages to them, explained who they are, where they come from. My daughter came to a visit one day and said, "Why am I black?" And we asked Adeline, "So why do you say that for, darling?" He said, "Because at school, these people called me Blackie."
Although the department is legally required to place Indigenous children within their own communities to maintain their connection to culture, this principle, known as the Aboriginal Placement Principle, is not always adhered to. Paddy Gibson, senior researcher at Jumbunny Institute.
We know from the Bringing Them Home report, which looked extensively at the experience of forced child removal in the 20th century, that being cut off from your family and your culture has extremely serious psychological implications. In that context, it's absolutely crucial to do everything you can to actually address any child protection concerns that might exist within a family and community setting to try and make it possible for the child to remain in that setting.
A representative from the Department of Family and Community Services said the department is guided by the Aboriginal Placement Principle and that tens of millions of dollars have been committed to family restoration work. But Ms. Lyons says that Indigenous-led support initiatives are required to support families whose children have been returned to them.
The Aboriginal culture is about staying connected to family members. It's about, you know, it's something that you carry, it's something that you live and breathe with every day. And this system and the workers do not have any sense of that. They need to set up an Aboriginal service with Aboriginal workers because there's not an Aboriginal worker involved in the restoration process.
According to Mr. Gibson, there is overwhelming evidence that resources should be directed to support Indigenous families instead of separating them.
Reunification work really needs to be done, but support services must be in place. And if they're going to be effective, they need to be community-based and Aboriginal controlled. You need Aboriginal people doing this work, and their communities need to have the resources to make sure it happens.